Welcome to KISS FAQ Song Stories. In this series, we'll focus on the histories of some of KISS's best and least known songs. In this episode, Come On and Love Me, originally released on KISS's Dress to Kill album in 1975. The creation of this song is tied directly to the dire straits Casablanca Records were in financially following their departure from the Warner Brothers distribution deal the previous year. That said, KISS had been the only bright spark in an otherwise disastrous year for Casablanca and at least kept some revenues flowing into the label, even through the troublesome period of decoupling and establishing independent distribution. The first major project of Casablanca's independent status, Magic Moments from The Tonight Show, had sold a lot of records, as evidenced by its RIAA gold certification on December the 5th, 1974. Unfortunately, as Neil Bogart told journalist Jim Esposito for a September 1976 We magazine feature, "It sold a lot of records, but was a financial disaster, and then it took me another 6 months to raise enough money to pay off the debt before I could really start moving forward again." KISS themselves were also in debt to Casablanca from unrecouped advances, production, and recording fees. They were only just managing to keep themselves on the road through the business acumen of their managers and what advances they could beg from Casablanca. While they were living some of the aspects of the rock and roll lifestyle on the road, their bank accounts were certainly not hemorrhaging in the right direction. They remained literally and figuratively hungry. When Neil pulled the band from the road and rushed them into the studio, this song wasn't among the four recorded during the demo sessions in California in January 1975. The timeline for the band returning to New York City following the last show of the tour in Santa Monica on February the 1st is unknown. Billa Coyne certainly remained in Los Angeles until February the 5th. In whatever case, it left just days before the start of the recording sessions at Electric Lady Studios. According to Paul Stanley in Behind the Mask, Come On and Love Me was written in a free association manner, or as he put it, just purging yourself and cool stuff would come out. Naturally, like Gene's material from the same time and album specifically, it was based on all that he could relate to. He called it very autobiographical and very much a point of view of his lifestyle. But even coming from that narrow perspective, it wasn't overthought, not that he had the time. In that sense, it was very much a road song, even if it had been written in his apartment. That it was written in his apartment indicates that it came very quickly. He recalled in Face the Music, "Come On and Love Me came to me quickly in my apartment, very organically, just a stream of consciousness. To be able to write something like that without laboring over it is a place you just can't get back to. It's writing without rules, without any thoughts of justifying or answering to anybody. I think that over time you can become a more technically proficient songwriter, but that doesn't mean you write better songs. This was our third album, yes, but all three within barely a year, so we still had the freedom of not really knowing the rules, of not analyzing lyrics under a microscope. The lyrics in Come On and Love Me created such a fluid rhythmic effect." Paul also told Guitar World in 1992, "The verses to Come On and Love Me were probably written in half an hour, and yet it's one of my favorite songs to this day." It was partially inspired by a 1970 Moody Blues song, Question, and the way the band, according to Paul in the box set liner notes, were hitting some of the chords in almost a symphonic kind of way. The song was the first on which Paul played lead guitar on a KISS recording, and it is here that one can hear some of the layering with the acoustic guitar underneath, electric rhythm, and the lead. As Paul recounted in Nothing to Lose, the technique was one that they'd learned from Bachman-Turner Overdrive as a technique to add texture to the recording, more specifically to give the guitars more definition. Recorded on February the 16th, 1975, according to studio documentation, Come On and Love Me was among three songs mixed at Electric Lady the following day. In the midst of recording their new album, KISS undertook a trio of dates in late February. Unfortunately, no set lists are currently available from any of those shows, so it's thought that no new material was performed until March. In the February 22nd issue of Cashbox, the date of the last show on that mini-tour, there were several pieces of notable KISS-related news. Most importantly, the release of the new Kiss LP, then titled Kiss at Midnight, was noted in conjunction with that year's NARM convention, NARM being the National Association of Recording Merchandisers, in early March. Casablanca was also planning a plethora of new releases from Greg Perry, Gloria Scott, and James and Bobby Purify. However, by March the 1st, Gene was using the title Dressed to Kill to refer to the new album, which by that time had been completed. Certainly, Come On and Love Me was present in the group's show at the Roxy Theatre in Northampton on March the 19th. While we only have a recording from the second set that night, it is the earliest known recording of the song live and marked the debut of new material from the album. I continue to exclude She from this equation, even though Paul insisted on introducing it as, "This is something I know you haven't heard. This is off our new album that'll be out next week called Dressed to Kill." The song had continued to be performed late in the Hotter Than Hell tour. Come On and Love Me appeared in the first encore slot, and its introduction was perfunctory.
Oh yeah! And some people just think city people know how to rock and roll. Bullshit! I was telling you before, we got a new album coming out. This is something off the album. It's called Come On and Love Me.
The release date for the album shifted, with the group pushing forward and booking what would become their first headlining tour. Anchored to that plan was their homecoming show at the Beacon Theatre, scheduled for March the 21st, preceded by a pair of warm-up bookings in Northampton and Willimantic, Connecticut. The show in Willimantic would be cancelled, with the band instead favouring a photo shoot and resting in preparation for the Beacon show. Casablanca and Rocksteady had big plans for the band, if not the budgets to pursue them. While promoter Ron Delsner had initially thought the Beacon booking overly optimistic, it quickly sold out so rapidly that he had to add a second performance that night. Come On and Love Me and its containing album was released on March the 19th, dropping into the Billboard Top 200 at position number 182 on April the 19th. Rocksteady noted that they planned to debut new costumes and special effects during the tour and film a Kiss clip, which co-manager Joyce Biowitz described to Cashbox, that the film would not only serve as a 3-minute segment which could be used to promote the new LP, but which will also be used as a promo film in international markets. This Get Acquainted with Kiss footage will also be sent to local network stations in key cities wherever the group is appearing. The film is being prepared by O'Coin and Biowitz under their Direction Plus banner. One early reviewer noted their thought that 4 of the album's songs could be a radio hit, and he thought Come On and Love Me was one, and one he thought would do any car radio proud. On April the 1st, Kiss filmed their third national television appearance for Burt Sugarman's Midnight Special at NBC Studios in Burbank, California. Come On and Love Me was performed along with She, Deuce, and Black Diamond, but it was the only song not included in either of the episodes, including the band, when broadcast. The status of the recording remains a mystery, but it wasn't included on any Midnight Special DVD reissues in the 2000s. It's not currently known if the original performance was unusable or even survives. Its use would have been convenient at a time the song was released as a single, when the first Midnight Special broadcast took place on July the 11th, 1975. However, whether it would have slowed or reversed the album's then slide off the charts is anyone's guess. By May, plans were advancing for both a live album and the promotional film that had been mentioned in March. The delivery timeline for the group's new costumes made delay inevitable. There was little point in going to the expense of filming a promo, which would then be used for a while, until the group's new image was defined. Matters came to a head with the advance sellout at Detroit's May the 16th Cobo Hall date. With the album at over 175,000 copies sold, with minimal national exposure other than the Midnight Special appearance, filming the band's visual business card became more important. At that time, management were looking into touring Europe in the fall, and the video was seen as a more valuable promotional tool than pictures to get the message across about what Kiss was really about. This was part of the expansion of Casablanca's business. Distribution deals had been completed in the main European markets with EMI. Bogart himself had visited Japan in early April to both finalize distribution for Casablanca in the country and meet with local promoters about the possibility of Kiss visiting. The Detroit date marked the debut of Kiss's Moonstone-designed costumes. Moonstone, famously, had been responsible for LaBelle's flamboyant designs at that time. In addition to filming the promotional video at the Michigan Palace during 2.5 days before the Cobo date, O'Coin also used the 12,000-seat sellout for promotional purposes. The group gave promoter Steve Glantz a Rockefeller citation to honor Steve's support of them. As Paul Stanley noted in Cashbox, "He treats us with as much respect now as a headlining act as he did last year when we were fourth on the bill." Gene added, "It's our way of showing appreciation to someone who has greatly helped our careers." It was good press for the group with what Casablanca VP Larry Harris described as weird kabuki-type thing critical image in the same issue. It was all part of a process of trying to take control of the band's critical narrative and concentrate on the theatrical rock aspect of the show. As Harris noted, people want more than just music, and that's why shows like the ones put on by Kiss are a valid part of show business. Peter explained the group's ethos in a June issue of Cashbox. "In a sense, we've taken a musical step backwards. We don't jam, and all of our songs are right around the 3-minute mark. What we're trying to do is bring the punch back into rock and roll music. All our music is concisely worked out. We make our point on stage and it's over." And that describes Come On and Love Me and the other songs comprising the set at the time. It was direct, to the point, neither overthought or overwrought. Dressed to Kill had started its descent on the album chart at the time Come On and Love Me was issued as the second single from the album. It really didn't matter by that time, with the group focusing on recordings for both Alive and starting to prepare material for the next studio album demanded for Casablanca. Promotion of the single may have been difficult given Casablanca's financial position and with remote recording costs already being incurred for the Alive album. The July the 26th issue of Cashbox noted that they at least liked the single. "Neil, what have you created? A monster. With ingenious lyrics, written from the sleazier side of being a rock star, Paul Stanley has written a blazing, high-energy rocker that illustrates why this group enjoys the fanatic, dedicated coterie it does. You will play it. You will enjoy it." By the end of June, the album had sold nearly 112,000 copies, possibly excluding cassette tapes. In contrast, in the same period, Hotter Than Hell sold 73,000 copies, and the debut, 34,000 copies. Not surprisingly, the song was included on the Alive album. The live version was built on the Cleveland recording. Live without the textures of the studio version's acoustic guitars, like many other songs, Come On and Love Me takes on a powerhouse form. Was immortalized on Alive was probably a good thing. It was among the songs culled to make space for new material from the Destroyer album, and by the end of that tour, there were more songs from the Hotter Than Hell album surviving than those from Dressed to Kill. Come On had got up and gone. Whatever the case, Come On and Love Me is a core part of the album's identity and not some throwaway song. With the rest of the album songs, Dressed to Kill became the first of the pre-Alive Kiss albums certified by the RIAA, reaching gold on February the 28th, 1977. In 1989, by then a neglected classic-era gem, Paul Stanley made sure to include the song in his set when he hit the road with his solo band. "She saw my picture in a music magazine. What you met me, said she gave me. Touched her hips and told me that she loved me. I took her hand, baby, this is what I said. I can't, baby, baby, don't you hesitate, 'cause I just can't wait. Lady, won't you take me down on my knees? You can do what you please. Come on and love me." Skid Row recorded a cover of the song, which was used as the B-side of their Slave to the Grind single in 1991. Produced by themselves and Jim Mitchell, the recording was included on their Besides Ourselves EP the following year. The song truly re-emerged during the Kiss Convention Tour of 1995, and it was performed for the audience during the staging changeover prior to Peter and Ace's arrival on the set for the MTV Unplugged filming. Surprisingly, considering its Kiss Alive lineage, Come On and Love Me was initially ignored by the reunion lineup in 1996. Eventually, it would be added to the set, first appearing on November the 1st, remaining in the set until June the 17th, 1997. Come On and Love Me returned to the set at the end of the World Domination Tour for a single performance in late 2003, and was again performed sparingly throughout the Rock the Nation Tour the following year. It remained part of the intermittent casino shows performed in the quieter period of 2006 and 2007. But it couldn't be ignored during the Alive 35 tour, based on the Alive album, but did eventually fall from favor as that touring cycle transformed into the Sonic Boom tour, a replay of what had happened during the Destroyer period. During the inaugural Kiss cruise in 2011, the song was performed during both the acoustic and electric sets, a recurring event where it would be most commonly heard for the rest of the band's career. The final electric non-private gig performance of Come On and Love Me took place in Monterrey, Mexico on October the 1st, 2012. The song's final performance was on Kiss Cruise 11 on November the 1st, 2022.